aquí y visitar a donde está el pueblo. Esa luz va a ser aquí. Esa luz va a ser aquí. Esa luz va a aquí. Esa luz tenía que ir aquí.
All glory to the
Lord. All glory.
Right. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Can you repeat? Sometimes one who is very alert,
so as not to commit sinful acts,
is victimized by sinful life again.
I therefore consider
this process
of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless.
It is like the bathing of an elephant.
For an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land.
Purpose by Zivangir Slesa Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced to go to hellish planetary system of the death, Sukadev Goswami answered that the process of counteracting sinful life is atonement. In this way, Sukadev Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit, who passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now Parikshit Maharaj is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Sukadev Goswami.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
When you talk to them, the soul is eternal, the soul never dies, never takes birth, just not my grace. Why is it that people don't believe in that? Why? Some do, some don't. Why? Because the moment they believe the soul is eternal, they'll also have to accept that, yes, I'm going to be punished for my wrong action. And they don't want to believe in any punishment. They like to believe. Everything ends with the death of the body. That is what we do. So praise Maharaj. He heard how the living entity suffers in different hellish planets. And being a devotee of the Lord, he was compassionate. One of the definitions of a devotee is compassion. So Prabhupada Maharaj inquired from Shri Goswami. He said, please describe to me how the sinful tendency can be eradicated from the heart. Eradicated means removed from the heart. And he gives a nice example here. He says, sometimes a man commits sinful activity and he repeats it. So what is the process of sinning and atoning? That's like the Christians go to the church on Sunday and they confess. Right? They confess. They atone. Please excuse me, my Lord, for these sins. And then he come back and sin again. The Hindus do the same thing. They go to the temple. They go to these Kumbh Melas. They go to Kumbh Melas. One of the reasons why millions shop for Kumbh Melas is the understanding to take a bath, wash away your sins. So many people think, oh, every 8 years I'll wash my sins away. But who take a bath, wash my sins, and come back and sin again? So this is known as the process of sinning and atoning. Prabhupada used to say, you may commit an offense once, twice, thrice, and be forgiven by the judge. But you're not going to be forgiven every time. So a genuine devotee doesn't believe in the principle of sinning and atoning. The Prabhupada mind wanted to know, how can we take away the tendency to commit sins from the heart? And to give an example, of a young boy. He gave an example of an elephant. He's trying to make him some. He gave an example of an elephant. An elephant takes a bath, becomes clean. More than six in a month, it becomes dirty again. So this is known as the process of sinning and atoning. So he wanted to know, how can this process of sinning and atoning stop? So we in the Krishna conscious movement are not interested in the process of sinning and atoning. We don't want to sin, then going from the Lord and atone, then commit sins again. That is not helpful developing pure bhakti. Vyasadeva had compiled a vast Vedic literature and he had summarized it in the Vedanta Sutra. But in spite of having presented so many transcendental literature, he was still feeling despondent and unhappy. He felt there is something lacking in my effort. And as he was meditating, sitting on the banks of the river Saraswati, his spiritual master Narada appeared on the scene, and he said, "The cause of your unhappiness is you're not exclusively presented in the path of bhakti. So sinning and atoning may be acceptable when you're on the path of Paramananda. But sinning and atoning is not accepted when you're on the path of pure devotional service. When the path purpose and the path of pure devotional service, you should go to pure love of Godhead." Vyasadeva was told, but it's not exclusively presented in the path of bhakti. If the Srimad Bhagavatam, from beginning to end, exclusively means nothing besides, just like sometimes you have exclusive sales agent of a product. That means, except that company, nobody else can distribute that product. So similarly, Bhagavatam exclusively presents the signs of pure bhakti from beginning to end. So, Parikshit Maharaj, through a series of verses, just representing this point, please don't sin and atone, please don't sin and atone, if you want to dwell in the love of God. So, in response to this inquiry, Sukadeva Goswami said, Parikshit Maharaj said, how can this tendency to commit sinful acts be removed? Because unless this tendency is withdrawn, you can't stop it. Just like we're born clean, then gradually we develop bad habits. Am I right? Just like the clouds, they pour rain water. If you catch the rain water at a high level, it'll be pure. But the moment it hits the earth, it becomes muddy. So similarly, we're born clean. When we were born, we didn't have any bad habits. But then as we associate and come up in a corrupt society, you get bad habits. So how can I stop myself from getting bad habits? That is the challenge ahead of us. The person when I wanted to know, how can I cleanse my heart so that I don't sin and atone? Sinning and atoning is not the highest platform. So, Srila Goswami, in response to this question, said, in the ancient scriptures, I have heard of a story, and the story was a story of... So, 5,000 years ago, Srila Goswami said, in the ancient scriptures. That means this pastime that we are discussing may have happened about 7 or 8,000 years ago. Just imagine how fortunate we are that today we are sitting and discussing an incident that took place 7 or 8,000 years ago. We haven't paid that to the Acharya and the Prabhupada by reading that to us. Now, what are the main points in this story? Ajmer, as you probably have heard, was born in a Brahmin family. He had a pious wife, rich father, children, and sound spiritual training from birth. He was not born a villager. When somebody asked Prabhupada, have you done some magic? Or can you do some magic? But then many people think, if you are a spiritual sadhu, you should have some magical abilities. So, Swami Prabhupada introduced the magic Swamiji. And Swamiji said, now I can't do any magic. So what magic have done? So the man said, what magic have you done, Swamiji? He was very curious. And I have devoted thousands of lectures in the Brahma. Lecture means one who is leading a degraded life. In the end of the story, once a magician came to Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and he would place different objects on the table, and then make them disappear. This is what sadhu magicians do, isn't it? They show you something, and then they make it disappear. So he placed a lot of items in front of Prabhupada, and then he made them disappear. He asked Prabhupada, so Swamiji, how do you like my magic? Prabhupada said, very good. But can you make birth and death disappear also? And he said, no. And Prabhupada said, I can. I'm a better magician than you. So nature means one who leads, who has bad habits. Rajiv was not born on nature. We were born natures. I mean, virtually everyone in this picture of this movement was born in a simple environment. But Rajiv was born in a Brahmical environment. He had good spiritual training. He had a family. But his father had one day sent him to the forest to bring flowers for puja. Now that he was doing one, he had gone to a nightclub or a movie club. He had gone for a very noble cause also. Bring flowers for puja. But on the way back, he saw an intoxicated man embracing a prostitute. And the two were so enamored by each other. Rajivin got attracted to this incident. He started meditating on this incident. His 24-hour meditation on this incident. He started meditating on the prostitute. Oh, how beautiful she was. And meditating on the prostitute was so on. First hired the prostitute as a maidservant. And then married her. And he had 10 sons by her. And whatever money he had inherited from his father, all God were wiped away and dealing with prostitute. And in order to maintain the prostitute, he had engaged a variety of sinful activities. So as a result, his whole Brahmical culture training, the Jagadguru. In the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana, what is Dhyana Yoga? I mean, these signs are controlling the mind. Krishna says, make friends with the mind, don't let the mind be your enemy. Krishna again tells us how to engage positively. This time, in a famous verse, Manava Mandakso, Manyati Mam, Mami Vajisatam Te Pratijan in Krishna. Think of being born and then become a devotee. What a devotee. Rajivin deviated from this principle. And because he deviated from this principle, he got degraded. Fell in bad association. This brings us to the point of association. Chaitanya Charitamrita, they said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sharva Sadhu Kaya. Nama Mata Sadhu Sangha, Sharva Sadhu Kaya. If you have the fortune of associating in the fraction of a second with a sadhu, your life will change. Satsanga Tyaga Vaishnavacha. When you get in the wrong association, then the spiritual life will be ruined. So Arjuna was a staunch devotee. He had everything he could dream of. But he felt bad association. First, he misused his mind. Second, he started associating with a deity involved human. And because he started associating with somebody who was not spiritually strong, his own spiritual life again. So all of us were pursuing spiritual path. We could not be stronger than Arjuna was. And then we missed the big thing. Oh, I have good, very good training. I went to the Bhakta program. I know, I protect myself. You can have the best training, maybe you don't need precautions, maybe you swept off your feet. So, in Arjuna's case, we see how he fell in bad association. And how this bad association influenced him into almost every sinful act. So association is very important. There are three levels of association you can have. You can have association with those who are more advanced, equally advanced, less advanced. Now the Guru explains to Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto. When you have the opportunity to associate with those who are more advanced, what should you do? You become joyful. When you associate with somebody more advanced, you become joyful. I'm going to hear something that's going to help me for this spiritual life. You meet somebody equally advanced, you make friendship. And when you meet somebody less advanced, what do you do? What do? You take compassion. The material situation, if you meet somebody who is better off than you, what do? You try to deride him. Hey, that guy cheated everyone in the gateway. I'm an honest guy, I don't like cheating. That's not important, the guy is not rich. In real life, if you meet somebody of equal strength, you say, let him show off. You're better off than him. He's like a brag. I got this new car, you should drive an old car. And when you meet somebody less advanced in real life, you exploit. The rich exploit the poor all over the world, right? That's what he did. The rich nations exploit the poor nations. They have all this chemical waste in the rich nations, but they have these factories. But they don't want to dump the chemical waste in their backyard. So they'll sign a contract with an African country. We'll dump our chemical waste in your backyard, and there's some money for you. So, in material life, if you're rich, you can exploit the poor everywhere. But in spiritual life, when you meet somebody better off than you, you're joyful because you're going to hear something that's going to help you pursue your spiritual life. When you meet somebody equally advanced, then we should make friendship. What does friendship and spiritual life mean? Friendship and spiritual life means we work together to serve the mission of the Lord. Just like to serve the mission of the Lord, Nityananda and Haridas, when Navasahara is preaching. So when we make When we make friendship with devotees, what does it mean? It doesn't mean you're trying to brag or exploit. It means you work together to serve the mission of God. If we work together as majority, we work together as cooks, as preachers, whatever. And we need some lesson ones. We don't exploit. But we think of, how can I elevate this person to Krishna consciousness? Just like Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 17, he departed from India. He just, as you know, $77 in his pocket. But he was meditating, how can a whole boy be saved and brought to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet? That was his meditation. So true compassion is meditating. How can I save people from the cycle of going there? That is the meaning of true compassion. When you have a boy that pass inside, you don't know the boy. What are you going to do? Get the bus out? Press the boy. It's painful. But if you want to remove the bus, that's the only solution. Once Prabhupada was given a lecture in Rishikesh, India. The Prabhupada, as you probably know, you just speak very strongly, fools and rascals, the Bhagavad Gita discusses that. So there was an American lady in the audience. The American lady said, Swami, Swami, you should not speak so rudely. Prabhupada answered, when you have a boil with bus in it, what do you do? Lower the boil or press the boil? He's an anti-press. So the truth has to be spoken, and the truth has to be spoken boldly and in a straightforward manner. Krishna is very blunt. Krishna says, fool and rascal, deride my appearance. He says that. So, Shri Goswami explains that Anjali and Gandhav, bad association and misusing of the mind, he got sidetracked. He got diverted from a Brahmanical life to the life of a nature. So just because you're a Brahmin or a sannyasi doesn't mean you can't fall down. Any of us can fall down at any moment. Once Prabhupada was meeting the deities, and he offered some prayers. So the devotees asked Prabhupada, what were you offering? What prayers were you offering to the Lord? Prabhupada said, I was praying to the Lord that I would never fall in Maya. That's the humility. So, the nature of an advanced devotee is, you think that you can fall in Maya at any time. Find that sound for you to chant the holy name 300,000 times a day. 192 rounds. And Haridas knew the Lord Chaitanya was going to depart from the planet soon. And he didn't want to be on the planet without Lord Chaitanya. So he was in his boat. Lord Chaitanya told him, your disease now, Haridas. And Haridas said, my disease is I can't finish my rounds. So our devotee and Vinayamdala, he was told by the Lord to reduce his chanting. He chanted so much. He said, no, I can't reduce my chanting. Why do you want to mind? So devotee is always alert. Even a stalwart devotee like Kailas Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, never took a risk. They knew. And we're not strict in following spiritual standards. Any of us can fall. Any of us can become a victim of the individual together. Krishna says, Devesha Vinamamai Mamamadurataya. That material energy of mind is very difficult to hold. And then he is very happy to overcome. The one who surrenders to me, he can overcome. So what does it mean surrender to Krishna? Does it mean just going out to Tilak, getting initiated? Meaning surrendering to Krishna's instructions and becoming religious and successful. So Srila Goswami explained the story of Arjuna. He had 10 sons. He was 88 years old. He had a son at the age of 88. But of all his sons, he was very attached to his younger son. One name? It was a common practice in Vedic culture. We would name our children of the name of God. This practice is there in almost all the faiths. In Christianity also, they name the children after the name of the Bible. In Quran also, Muhammad, they name the children of the names of the Muhammad and so on. And in the Vedic tradition also, we give the children names, names of God. So Arjuna named his younger son. He then sometimes parents come to us and say, can you please give a child name for our child? So we give them a spiritual name and they say, oh, not this one, someone else. And finally tell that they don't want a spiritual name, they want a modern name. And we have to tell them you've come to the wrong person. So it was a Vedic tradition. Give to the names of God. The parents when they enter the children, you get some benefit. So Arjuna was excessively attached to the child. He would day and night utter his name so many thousands of times. Son Arjuna would sit down, Arjuna would drink, Arjuna would eat. And his simple activity became so intense. The Yamraj is the superior of death. Yamraj has a computer that never crashes. In the world you have, the best of computers that they crash. You have backup and backup and backup. Even the Russian hacked the American computer. But this is mature technology, which is incomplete. So, Yamraj's computer is going to hang it. And I'm not at the crash. So Arjuna saw that. Yamraj saw Arjuna's computer was sinful. So he said, three Yamadutas. Bring Arjuna to help of him. Why three? We have three avenues through which we can serve the Lord or forget the Lord. What are the three avenues? Body, mind, and movement. Through the body you can serve the Lord, through the body you can serve your senses. With the tongue you can serve the Lord by chanting his name and you can engage your mind in thought. And through the mind you can think of the Lord, you can think of the opposite. Rajivi really saw the fearful looking Yamadutas. They are very fearful looking. In great desperation, he loudly exclaimed, Narayan! He did it with such intense purity, even though he was addressing his youngest son, was taking him by. The angels of Lord Vishnu came, and their name is Vishnu. And in the dialogue that took place between the two, and the Vishnu said, And the reason for the starting out of the thing I can do that for that. So, in this way of Ajahn, several things stand out. One is the effect of bad associations, the other is the effect of mission of the mind, and then the power of the holy name. How the holy name is so powerful. Ajahn, uttering the name of Narayana 7,000 times a day, putting more than in chanting for the sake of counteracting his sins, because it is the seventh offense. So we chant it 10 offenses every day.
So, when many devotees then
we chant. Anyway, the seventh of the 10 offenses. What is the seventh of the 10 offenses? Transcendental the center of chanting. I'm thinking I'm initiated now. I'm Brahman. So, even if I sin, I will have to be excused. It's very serious. So I think it wasn't chanting the name of Narayan with the intention of counteracting the simple action. We're just chanting because of his natural love for his younger son. So, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we cleanse our heart. And as we cleanse our heart, we can take away the sinful tendencies. So the chanting of the holy name is our life and soul, and the summary of the Vedic message. The Vedic message is the chanting of the holy name. Arjuna got saved because he was chanting the holy name of the Lord. So this chanting of the holy name is our most important activity. If we chant the holy name regularly, then we will be able to cleanse the heart. So Prashant Maharaj's inquiry was, how can the sinful tendency be eradicated so that we don't sin in the tone, isn't it? That was a key question. How can I take away the sinful tendency? The sinful tendency is very deep in everyone's heart. And the response was, by chanting the holy name, the heart gets cleansed. So this chanting of the holy name, Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Vata, the Kali with the Lord and Ganesh in the holy name, we all need to cleanse our heart. Just like you have dirt in your body, you clean the dirt by scrubbing your body with water. So we need to scrub the heart. Well, how do you scrub the heart? Not by taking a brush and rubbing it hard on your chest. You clean the chest, the heart, the chanting of the holy name. So the chanting of the holy name is our most important activity. Last time somebody asked a question, what's important service of the holy name? Chanting of the holy name is the most important. And this chanting of the holy name is our foundation for spiritual life. If we have a strong foundation, then we can easily progress. So, from this way of Ajahn, you hear about, you read about the importance of the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to freely authorize the chanting of the holy name. So we need to cleanse our heart, that we need sadhu sangha, the chanting, and hearing of the Bhagavatam. Nasa Prayesha Padesha Vidyam Bhagavat Sevaya. Bhagavati is much so, okay? Bhakti Bhavati nice. So regularly hearing the Bhagavatam. So there's nobody here. We can play Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class tape at 8 o'clock. And just by hearing, the heart will get good. So, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know How can this energy sit in the door and go away? And that is being destroyed by them. So we should chant attentively. The more attentive we are in chanting, the faster we are chanting. So we need to hear again and again, as we said yesterday, repetition is necessary to drive the point home. And so we need to hear again and again, we want to go to the heart and cleanse the heart. And that is possible. You regularly hear the Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya gave 5 main points. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Shravanam Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavatam. So hearing the Bhagavatam or reading the Bhagavatam is very important. We want to make a picture of Nama. But let's try to make that as well as a New Year resolution. We'll read the Gita and the Bhagavatam every day. If we do that, then we'll be done. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Yes.
You should have a contest. Yes, please speak it aloud.
The sannyasi and a brahmana can fall down. So in our position, how can we save ourselves?
Possible, let me explain. One of these stories, make us realize that anyone who doesn't take precaution and follow the rules can become a victim. So what do? We be very cautious. Say, oh, what if I can fall down? I can definitely fall down. Let me take precautions. And if you take precautions, then Krishna will help you. Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, you take 10 steps towards you. So we make a little effort to avoid Maya by falling to process. Krishna will go out of his way and help you. It's okay. More questions?
Yeah. Maharaj, we know that the holy name has a lot of potency. So sometimes when you're walking on the road, people chant Hare Krishna, maybe jokingly. So what is their destination?
Let's say chant. Sometimes people say, look at the crazy Hare Krishna, they're making my life a nuisance. Even they benefit from the ultimate impression. Like today we go on a morning walk, so many people say Hare Krishna. You know, some benefit. Jnata Sukriti means you know this activity is going to give me spiritual benefit and you do it. Jnata Sukriti means you do some service without knowing you're going to get the benefit. Just like when we do prasad distribution or book distribution. Many people buy a book. They don't know there's a spiritual book. They don't know they're getting the benefit. They should buy it. Read it, you're getting better. The spiritual life has started. That is the power of the holy name. The holy name is so powerful. Krishna's name is so powerful. Knowingly or unknowingly. And you'll read that in the story of Rajamir. And when you chant a year. Yeah.
Please give some advice about attentive chanting, like you said.
You
should chant
attentive chanting. Attentive chanting means, see, one thing you have to recognize, the holy name is not different from the Lord.
Once you recognize the holy name is wonderful from the Lord, then naturally you'll be more attentive. Just like you're in front of an important person, you're attentive, isn't it? You're not next to an important person and you don't look at other things at the same time. So, the meets is under chant of 16 rounds. If you try to make this your major activity, sometimes the body is like, I can close my mind is always wandering, floating. So the good news is, don't worry where your mind wanders. How about that? Ignore it. But it is me chanting. Just chanting, hear your chant. Just I do one activity. I'm chanting, I'm speaking on the telephone, reading the paper, things that happen at the same time. Please do one activity. You're eating prasad, you like being distracted. Especially eating after a fast day. What do you say? Let me eat in peace, come back later. Isn't that the normal answer? So you can tell everyone, turn up your mobile phones and let me finish my japa. Okay? Yes. Yes. Why do we have a taste of Maya so intense? Even when we are suffering, we kick left, right, top, bottom. So they say Maya is beautiful. That's the power of the illusory energy. But that illusory energy can be overcome by the power of devotion. And as you progress spiritually, you recognize this is distasteful. So we need to be in good association and be ready to read the books, etc. That will help. After all, there are thousands of devotees all over the world who are making spiritual progress. So, those who take this path, they can safeguard it. Krishna is not saying, Devesha Guna Maya Mama Maya Dharada. The work of the Guruji energy is very difficult. If it's something to me, I'll help you. Then you can overcome. Krishna is very good. He's given us some powerful instruments. Holy name, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, beautiful deed. And in this time, you have better facilities than anyone. There is temples, Vajri everywhere, deities everywhere, so many books of Prabhupada, so many associations. Is that right? Is that correct? Okay, any more questions? Yes.
There is bad association within a devotee association and you see that bad association, should you tolerate it or what should you do?
You see that some devotee is not that genuine devotee, he has bad habits, bad intentions. You can avoid that association. It doesn't say you have to stay calm. And if you see that somebody in the right path, then you can use his association. And if you see trying to get it corrected also by going through the appropriate channel. We don't say, you see something is wrong, turn a blind eye. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is a void version of God. But not that when you see something wrong, turn a blind eye. But it has to be genuine.
Thank you.